Now, this is Box to Box with Rob Gilbert and Michael Edgley.
Oh, what a goal!
For Chemist Warehouse.
Home of real brands and real savings.
And Storage King.
The kings of storage, moving and
moving. Absolutely fantastic!
Hello and welcome to Box, the show that is everything football. You're with Rob Gilbert and Michael Edgley to run the rule over the past week in the World Game. First edition news with Willem van Denderen shortly, and during the show we'll be joined by our 250-game veteran of the Victorian Premier League and our former Notts County man Dean Hennessy, as well as our former ITN journo turned pundit Derek Dyson. It is a busy show, as always, with plenty on the international and domestic fronts, but it's a local story that leads us off this week with the announcement by the Australian Professional Leagues of what is described as a landmark media partnership deal for the A&W Leagues. Is this the moment football in this country has been waiting for so many generations for? Australia's leading finance and business journalist, Sky News, Ross Greenwood, will help us break it down. To the A-League on the park, and Melbourne City has finally broken its premiership drought. We'll talk to the gaffer, Patrick Kisnorbo, to get a sense from the boss on how he's turned Melbourne's also-rans into champions. And we'll wrap up the hour with more good news for the A-League with one of the season's feel-good stories, Wellington Phoenix returning home to a crowd of 24,000, a record. Sky Sports' Jason Pine will join us to talk about the amazing atmosphere at Sky Stadium. And can they get a bigger crowd at Auckland this weekend? We'll find out. In the second hour, Willem will kick off with second edition news and the latest on Socceroos and Matilda Central. And whenever Martin Tyler joins us, it's a special occasion on Box to Box. He is the voice of our show. We'll talk to the great man about the heartbreak of Manchester United against Villarreal in the epic penalty shootout, look ahead to the Champions League final, and get his thoughts on the Euros just a couple of weeks away. We'll reflect on the conclusion of the European top flight competitions and look ahead to the championship playoff final with Dino Undell. And we'll wrap it up with stoppage time, reflecting on just who of the Box to Box crew claimed the bragging rights for the coveted tipping crown for the Premier League and Championship. I don't even know what Dean is going to tell us there, Edge, but it's not exactly the lead news item of the show this week.
It's not the lead news item of the show. It's definitely the APL's new broadcast deal with Ten and Paramount Plus. It's very, very exciting. Mm. And we'll obviously talk to Ross Greenwood in great detail. But scratching the surface of that and looking into the detail, I think there's some very, very exciting times ahead for football. And obviously, Willem's got some news, but isn't it fantastic to see the Socceroos back in camp?
The long-term futures of the A-League and W-League have been secured, with the APL signing a five-year broadcast deal with Network 10 and Paramount Plus. The $200 million deal will see two matches each round air on a primary free-to-air channel for the first time, with the remaining matches to be the cornerstone of Paramount's launch in Australia. Channel 10's owners, Viacom CBS, have purchased a 2.5% stake in the APL, signalling their commitment to the game. Now, Michael, for me, there was that initial apathy towards another service and maybe a little bit of a fear of the unknown, given we don't really know what Paramount Plus is about here in Australia yet. But the positives are huge. The free-to-air component is brilliant. The long-term commitment looks like it's there, not only in terms of the deal, but in terms of the investment as well. And it hasn't been spoken about much, but there is that trigger clause for another 3 years. And in this landscape, 8 years is pretty much to the end of time. So, and another thing that hasn't been mentioned too much, I believe club members are going to get the service for free or at a heavily discounted rate. It's only $9 anyway. So very exciting week for the game. Looks like a good deal on the surface.
Yeah, one of the items that I think a lot of people might have missed or not regularly recognised, that imagine if Netflix had secured the rights to football. It would be a big story. So Paramount Plus is going to be a competitor to Netflix. At the end of September, the current deals that Paramount have in place with Stan and also Netflix expires. So Paramount is one of the biggest movie houses in the world. So all that product that you would access on Netflix and Stan will go to Paramount Plus. So they will become a very real player in the streaming service. And it's just fantastic that football is going to be on a premium product like that.
The Socceroos, Michael, as you mentioned, they are back in camp. They've begun filing into Q8 ahead of next week's World Cup qualifiers. Graham Arnold this week, of course, announced his 31-man squad. The major absentees are midfield mainstays Aaron Mooy, Tom Rogic and Mas Luongo, with the uncapped Riley McGree, Denny Jonro and Connor Metcalf included instead. There have been maiden call-ups for Ruan Tongyik and Kenny Dougal, while Curtis Good and James Holland return after 7 years in the wilderness.
Ruan Tongyik.
Yes, the box-to-box magic has ascended to new levels. Ruan joined us last week, and I'm not sure even he was expecting the call-up from Arnie. But I mentioned James Holland there, Michael. I think a fair bit is actually going to fall to him. The midfield's the area that does look a little bit skinny, and along with Jackson Irvine, he's really the only one with any considerable experience. Jimmy Jego, of course, missing as well. But it's the back line, the defence, that looks as strong as it has in years, I think.
Yeah, it's exciting times, isn't it? Obviously, Aaron Mooy missing out, deciding just to take a hiatus at this time. Otherwise, he wouldn't have seen his family for 2 years. I think that's a significant let out. Obviously, we'll miss Aaron Mooy in the context of that. But there is, you know, the most experienced players, as you mentioned, Matthew Leckie, 63 caps, Matt Ryan, 59 caps. And obviously, Graham Arnold's son-in-law, Trent Sainsbury. I love getting that in, Graham Arnold's son-in-law. 48 caps. And as you said, it's welcome back to the Socceroos after a long time. Nikita Rukavica, James Holland and Curtis Good. So there's plenty to look forward to. It's going to be a difficult little period for them. We should have the talent and capability to get these matches away. But some of them will be very competitive. And we obviously have the unknown factor of just how well we're going to cope in 49 degrees.
Melbourne City last Saturday signed up their maiden piece of A-League silverware, winning the Premier's Plate with three matches to spare. They add that to their sole previous title, the 2016 FFA Cup, while manager Paddy Kisnorbo adds it to the W-League Championship he won with the club in 2018. If City are to add a maiden A-League Championship, they'll have to do so without Jamie McLaren, Curtis Good and Connor Metcalf, who were, of course, called up to the Socceroos. And Kisnorbo himself called it crazy that the finals are being played during an international window, so looking forward to speaking to him about that and plenty more later on in the hour. But well done to Melbourne City. They've clearly been the benchmark this season.
They are, and I think the Premier's Plate for me, I know that you guys know that I'm a traditionalist, but for me the Premier's Plate is a hell of a lot more important than the Championship, and you know they should be well pleased with themselves, and in particular Patrick, who's you know done such a strong and long apprenticeship as the 2IC at Melbourne City to win it in your first year as Gaffer, that's pretty good, isn't it?
It is, but I still do like the double that we provide in our domestic sporting environment, where you know you can win obviously the premiership and then the championship. You know the grand final is obviously a big event in Australia, similar to what it is in the States as well. And you know it's an opportunity to really.
It's like it's the equivalent of our cup final, isn't it? Really, yeah, at the end of the day. But I think you know the end of the home and away. Top of the table is for me the best team in the comp.
I agree with you, Rob. I liked having the grand final. We're a sort of unique football nation, and I don't think it's too hard to get your head around having two different trophies held in sort of the same esteem for two different reasons. From the heights of Melbourne City down to lowly Western Sydney, Rob, their absence from the A-League looks set to extend to a fourth season after a 2-1 loss to Wellington on Wednesday left them 5 points adrift of the sixth. Carl Robinson's labelled the season a failure by himself and the group. They've won just once in their past 11 outings. Meanwhile, the club's W-League side are looking for a new manager following the very low-key departure of Dean Heffernan a fortnight ago. So, Rob, I think there's some demons at Wonderland and they persist two seasons in. They've played 12 this season, won 5, lost 5 and drawn 2.
Yeah, look, anyone who listens to the show knows I've been a supporter of Carl Robinson since day one. I did buy in and drink the Kool-Aid from the club when he came from Newcastle and with some of the signings and you know Mitchell Duke coming back. It seemed like at different stages of the season that they were getting back on track. So, yeah, I don't know any more than anybody else does what has brought them under. I mean, is the quality above them on the ladder that much better than them? Well, there's some good stories to tell in the teams that sit above them on the ladder, but obviously they have got the capacity and the firepower to be in that top six, and they really should be there. So, you know, questions are going to be asked, and, you know, does Carl Robinson survive? You know, it's a brutal world football. We'll find out.
Well, he's got egg on his face, hasn't he? Because he went into Western Sydney. He played the PR game and talked up a big game, but it's not to be. And one win out of the last 11, you said, Willem, is that right?
I think that is correct, Michael. And over to Europe to finish. Villarreal have won the Europa League final after a marathon penalty shootout, eventually edging Manchester United 11-10. In the end, it came down to the two keepers, with Geronimo Rui scoring before saving David De Gea's tame effort.
And it's been saved! Rui, with that save, has presented Villarreal with their first European title, and the UEFA Europa League winners go into next season's Champions League.
It was manager Unai Emery's fourth Europa League title after his hat-trick with Sevilla in 2014, 15 and 16. Rob, they are now the first club since Shakhtar Donetsk in 2008-09 to win a major European final at the first attempt, but the criticism has come for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, who didn't go to his bench until extra time.
I know, it was absurd. You know, I swapped between watching the Optus coverage and listening to the BBC, and they were both in lockstep with what they were saying. They could not understand why Ole wasn't making some tactical replacements late in the game. Manchester Manchester United had the ascendancy, and knowing that they were going into extra time, Emery put on five replacements late and allowed those players to find their feet into the game, to underpin the foundations of the defensive structure that he'd put together, so that by the time extra time came, that it was all under control and well organised. They had a strategy. It was only one strategy. It was to defend, to play on the counter attack. They had a couple of opportunities, but look, who would have predicted that that absurd penalty shootout? And look, you and I were texting during the game, and I know I did say that I had a sense that Villarreal were going to win the penalty shootout in the end. But David De Gea, poor keeping and poor shooting. It was just dead set lame all round.
You can probably forgive him the shot, but yeah. He just looked flat every penalty. Mm. He seemed to give away his position pretty early, and no full-blooded
Spanish
dice.
Insider.
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah, who knows? All right, mate, well done. We'll talk more about that with Martin and when we get to Europe. But what we will do is talk to Ross Greenwood from Sky News after the break about this great deal for A-League and W-League in Australia. We've been talking about a lot of the commercial deals that the professional leagues have put in place, and the FA as well, since all the last 6 months, and this is the best of the lot. We'll talk to Ross Greenwood after the break on Box to Box.
Box to Box.
Can you
For Chemist Warehouse,
home of real brands and real savings.
And Storage King,
the kings of storage, moving and more.
And this could be the most crucial goal of all.
Yes, this is Box to Box. It is a busy show, but with the news this week, the announcement from the Australian Professional Leagues of what has been variously described as a landmark partnership deal for the A and W Leagues, a lot of us in the game are wondering, is this the moment that that football in this country has been waiting so many generations for? We can talk about the game on the park, but equally important is how the finances stack up, and the man we go to discuss business and finances, of course, Sky News, Ross Greenwood, and he joins us now. How are you, Ross?
Very well, thank you, mate. Good to be with you as always. Whenever there's a TV deal on, you and I have a chat for some reason.
We do, mate. Well, you're our go-to man, Ross. And look, the question on most people's lips is, are we expecting too much of this? The money looks right. The investment in the game looks right. The actual partnership in the game looks right. Is there anything that we're missing here?
I get a sense that it is a great deal, and I think it's not a bad deal for Channel 10, as well as being a pretty good deal for football. And the reason is it gives the free-to-air exposure. And even though SBS has been a great partner, there's no doubt about that. Perhaps it's just that there's a bit more commercial oomph behind it with this deal. I think people really did love the football and watching football on SBS and came to love those, just what it represented. But I just get a sense that this is bigger. And of course, then on the other side of it, with Foxtel and the deal that's traditionally been there, of course, being free to air, it just means that the game is open to more people. And just my sense is that's the reason why the Football Federation of Australia jumped at this deal, because the money was right and it just gave them an opening, a window, if you like, into a much potentially larger audience as well.
Ross, $200 million is the reported number in cash and contra. A trigger for a further three-year deal. The existing term is, or the initial term is 5 years. One A-League match covered each week on a Saturday night broadcast on 10's primary free-to-air channel. The first time ever the A-League's been on a primary free-to-air channel. A W-League match every Sunday to be broadcast on 10 Bold, which is the secondary channel. For fans of the women's game, the broadcast standards will be the same between the minimum ones, the same between the A-League and the W-League. But interestingly, Viacom, CBS, the owners of 10, and importantly Paramount, have taken a 2.5% equity stake in the APL, that's the Professional Clubs Organisation, which is probably a first for any broadcast rights. Can you just comment on that particular part of the deal? It's innovative, it's new, and what do you take out of that?
Well, my sense is that it means that your broadcaster, actually, even though it's a relatively small amount of the equity that they take, they get a say. And that's really what that's all about. So it's showing that they've got skin in the game as well. And it's not the first that's been suggested. There were suggestions that, say, for example, when the rugby union television rights were back up, the private equity might eventually come in and buy out all of the Australian rugby union. and really take the big equity slice. And so it's not unusual in terms of the world. It's unusual in terms of Australia. The second aspect of this, and the key one, is the timing of the game in terms of the game starting in spring. Now, what they're really trying to do is to capture that little bit of a sweet spot that happens between really cricket kicking off big time and also NRL and AFL finishing. Now, if they can build an audience on that Saturday night with the A-League and get more of a following, then 10 might very well be able to do, and I think this is what they're banking on, doing with football as what they did with the Big Bash. And remember, it was 10 and the innovative way in which they broadcast it and commentated about it. And I just get a sense that if 10 does this and they want to make it work, then they'll have to get a little bit of that essence of what they did with the Big Bash to really try and make this work at its very best.
Certainly is. And the other interesting component of this is Paramount Plus. A lot of Australians may not understand what this is, but it's coming in August. Paramount Plus, a huge movie stable. It's the streaming service that will aim in Australia to take on Netflix. They say that they can, within 6 to 12 months, be the second most popular streaming service in Australia behind Netflix. Surely that's a plus too, that every A-League game and every W-League game is going to be on Paramount Plus. So if you do obviously subscribe to that for the movies, you get the bonus of the sport. And it appears that Viacom CBS, who has a bit of a football pedigree in the States, they actually host the UEFA Champions League and Italian Serie A on their streaming services in the States, which has been very successful. But what can Australians expect from Paramount Plus? Will they challenge the nexus of Netflix, and can they bump Stan out of the way pretty quickly?
Well, do note that when Nine did its deal with Rugby Union, that they obviously put a lot of stuff into the new Stan Sport that they created. Now, the really big thing that many sporting codes have been waiting on is for these streaming services, and indeed for these big media companies like Paramount, to come in and really show that they are prepared to buy sport. Now, consider, say, for example, that traditionally the most watched programs on, say, Foxtel have always been the sporting programs, always. And in other words, sport is number 1 to 20, basically, when it's, you know, normal season. The interesting aspect of this is that everybody knows that. Like Rupert Murdoch going into the UK when he had Sky, had to buy cricket, had to buy, the English Football League. All that type of thing is important to get the eyeballs. Here in Australia, the big thing is the streaming services, whether it be Stan or whether it be Google or whether it be the new CBS Viacom, whatever it is, that they go out and suddenly themselves try and become players in sport, because they know that sport will drive eyeballs to the rest of their schedule. And that's the key. Have they got the pockets to actually do it? Have they got the talent to be able to create the sport in the way in which Australians are used to it, and will Australians pay for the sport? That's going to be the interesting thing, given the anti-siphoning rules that you and I have talked about before, that is absolutely pivotal and so important to all of this. The key sporting moments in Australia still have to be represented on free-to-air television. And maybe that's also one reason why this deal, with 10 sitting in the background, is such an important thing.
This is Box to Box. We're talking to Ross Greenwood from Sky News about the new deal with the Australian Professional Leagues announcing their association with Channel 10 and Paramount of a new $200 million arrangement. So, Ross, tell us, what do you know of some of the background behind this negotiation? There was a lot of talk a couple of weeks ago that Stan were going to get involved, that they'd made a deal. How competitive was this whole play?
Oh, really competitive. That's why that number's as big as what it is. It's quite clear to me that really people saw opportunity. Part of the reason for it, and this is, again, the reason why Indian Premier League takes off, Big Bash takes off, as soon as you get people supporting teams, you've got a ready-made television audience. Now, the important aspect of this is that the A-League already has a significant following. And so there's a ready-made audience that's already there and working and operating. And so from that point of view, it was a case whereby really the channels knew that if they could get these people in to subscribe to that service, they were highly likely to get them to subscribe to their other services. And remember, that's it. It's part of the bait to try and get people to spend their money to watch the movies, to watch everything else as well from the television program, from the broadcaster's point of view. So that's all a part of the mixture of what they're all looking for while trying to pay so much money for the rights to the A-League.
Ross, there's been lots of information come out of the clubs that they believe they're very close to securing an injection of between $100 and $150 million from private equity group Rain Group, who've been engaged by the APL owners to sell off an equity stake. Considering that an MLS club in the States recently changed hands in the last 3 weeks for $400 million, off the top of your head, $100 or $150 million for 25% stake in the entire league, that might be a bargain.
Sounds about right, to be honest. And the reason for it is, consider that their league there has got eyeballs that are, what, 10, 12 times bigger than Australia's? And that being the case, that's roughly off the top of your head. And so as a result of that, you would expect for the total league, really, one club, yeah, that to me would sound about right. It might be a little on the high side, but not much. Because remember that anybody coming in is going to base it on the number of people who are watching that game. And that, again, is one of the reasons why the deal with 10 is important. Because the more eyeballs they can get watching the game, then potentially the more valuable the whole league and the individual clubs become themselves.
All right, Ross. Well, look, this does look like it's positive news for football all round. Then, as you say, a competitive market always delivers a better financial outcome for the seller. And now we just need to hope that 10 can do what it did with cricket and the Big Bash for football again, and that the Paramount streaming service with its financial firepower can actually now put football genuinely on the equal stage to other sports like the NRL and AFL and even rugby as it comes back now.
And won't it be fantastic? Saturday night, sitting up, you know, having the big roast or a couple of beers and watching the football on the telly. It'll be actually a very, very nice thing to do, and hopefully 10 gets the product right. That's now the key.
Yep, that's exactly right. Ross Greenwood, you're a good friend. Thank you very much, time, mate.
Good on you, Rob. No problems at all.
We'll talk to you again soon. Ross Greenwood from Sky News. Okay, after the break, we're going to talk football on the park. Melbourne City, they've finally done it. They are matching trophies with their big brother over in the UK. Might not be as big a trophy, but it's the one they've never won. Paddy Kisnorbo, the manager, next on Box to Box.
Box to Box.
Can you believe it?
For Chemist Warehouse.
Home of real brands and real savings.
And Storage King.
The kings of storage, moving and more.
And this could be
yes, this is Box to Box. It's a bumper show this week and made all the better because we've got the coach of the premiership winning side, Manchester City. It's Melbourne City, the sister club, the bigger club than Manchester City. Patrick Kisnorbo on the line. How are you, Patrick?
Good, thank you. Yourself?
Yeah, we're really good, mate. So as we record this chat, it is the last night before lockdown. You're out and about in downtown Melbourne having dinner with the family, but surely celebrating the breakthrough title for the club.
Yeah, well, as you said, you know, it's a bit of a disruption time at the moment. It's a hard time. So me and the family are having some dinner, obviously just before going with the lockdown.
Paddy, when I think of Melbourne City, you think of Patrick Kisnorbo, not only a player, you did your apprenticeship in the coaching structure there. You've coached the W League side to titles. So you are Melbourne City through and through. So congratulations on the title, especially your own achievement, because whenever someone cuts through to their first coaching opportunity to turn around success in the way you've done, you must be proud of your club, but also very proud of your own contribution.
Yeah, look, people forget, you know, like I actually started in the academy before the W League, so I took over the under 20s. So the W League, you know, was sort of an extended sort of coaching stint in terms of, you know, I got to learn the processes and of a first team coach, a first team environment with full time players. Then, you know, I was an assistant for a couple of years. Learn a lot of Warren Joyce, a lot of Eric, and you know, here I am, you know, this year in terms of getting an opportunity, you know, to coach, you know, as the head coach, And it's been fantastic. But, you know, along the way, there's a lot of learning, a lot of mistakes that you make, but that's all part of the learning process.
And, Paddy, the one thing that I'm terribly excited for you and your club is that you're going to be in Asia in the next edition of the Asian Champions League. And can you tell me what that means to the club to be able to compete in Asia and what it means to your playing group as well?
I think it's a fantastic achievement for us to qualify not only this year but last year. Like everyone else, we want to play, you know, against the best and with the best, and, you know, playing in this Asian Champions League is our opportunity to do that. So it's fantastic, you know, because we want to test ourselves amongst the best teams and the best players in Asia, and, you know, we get that opportunity to do so.
This is Box to Box. We're talking to the Premiership winning coach of Melbourne City. He's synonymous with that club, coaching through the ranks of the men's and women's club. He's obviously a player after he had his storied career in Europe, Paddy Kisnorbo.
Paddy, you arrived as a player at Melbourne City in what was then the final year of Melbourne Heart. So you've been there in various guises throughout the entire Melbourne City reign. In your opinion, what's the biggest change from those early days when the City Group came in and sort of put a few changes in place at the club through to now that you've finally started to establish some consistent success on the pitch and lifting your first A-League title?
I think when, obviously, Man City or the CT sort of took over, they made it very quite intent that, you know, that what we wanted to achieve and what our identity was. But I think the difference is maybe continuity. Obviously, as a player, and as a sort of an assistant coach and even a coach that wasn't in the first team at the time, I think the turnover of players was too many, where now, before last year and this year, there really wasn't. And we've been able to, you know, keep our core squad together, add a few players that make a difference, which keeps that continuity within the playing group and the club. And we train to get better with the group, you know, that's been together now for 2 years.
And since you've lifted the plate last Saturday, there's been quite a number of articles popping up in sort of various publications with interviews with Scott Jamieson, Michael Petrillo, very senior people at your club. And there seems to be an agreement that this Premiership plate's not just a one-off this season, but the culmination of 3 or 4 years of work. Now, you mentioned Eric Mombera and Warren Joyce fleetingly, but could you just maybe discuss in a little bit more detail the impact that both of those guys have had on you as a young manager and the club as a whole?
Their ideology of football might be a bit different, but what they see in the player is, I think, very similar. You know, with Warren Joyce, you know, he taught me a lot about, you know, managing players and, you know, what to look for for players and if you want to succeed and behaviours. And with Eric, obviously, he came in and, you know, brought in a City style of play that now we stick to, but we no matter what, we stick to that process. So, you know, there's two different managers with two different ways to see it, but with the player that they wanted in the club or what they see that could play this style was exactly the same, and it's crazy. So I've just kept that that way of, you know, I want to play, you know, the City style of play and have players that are able to do that on a regular basis.
And Paddy, look, I don't want to poke the bear here, but obviously none of the coaches who are affected by the international break are happy with the scheduling. We've obviously got Curtis Good, Connor Metcalf, and, you know, your goal-scoring spearhead, yeah, Jamie McLaren, out for the finals. It really throws a wild card into the situation and gives other clubs an opportunity to take the championship title that, you know, in fairness, they probably wouldn't have had.
Yeah, people forget it. Also, Andrew Nabu. If Andrew Nabu was fit, he would have been another one. So we would have lost four players. Look, it's a hard one because, you know, you prepare all year and you have a 3-month pre-season and you prepare all year, you know, to, you know, do your best and play every game the best as you can to hopefully one day put you in a position to maybe, you know, achieve something. Now, you know, we're the only country in the world that I could think of at this moment that, you know, he's been having an international break, 3 international breaks. So it's crazy because now we lose players. And look, it's not of any fault of, you know, Graham Arnold, because he needs to pick, you know, his best player to qualify for a World Cup. So I think it goes a bit deeper than that. And, you know, like, why the question I'd ask is, you know, where's the integrity? Because, you know, like, what are we, you know, what's the integrity of the league? You know, does it look good on the league? The question needs to be asked.
Mm.
And, you know, like, you know, we want to do our best as coaches, and we want to be prepared as best as coaches. But sometimes things get taken out of your hands and you really can't do anything about it. So, you know, we have to plan now without those players. And I'm not the only one. You know, Sydney are losing 3 players. There's a few other clubs that are losing 1 or 2. So, you know, everyone gets affected in different ways. I just can't see how we're the only, you know, country in the world that, you know, is not breaking for international break as their season keeps going.
Let's hope moving forward, Paddy, that the APL and the FA can get together and really sort out the season's breaks and ensure that this doesn't happen in the future, because the loser is football, you know. Obviously, we all want the Socceroos to have the best possible team, and those boys have earned their spot, and you don't want to deny them that opportunity. But as you say, the competition's worse off for this clash. But Paddy, just on a personal note, mate, how's that Achilles? We've seen you get around on crutches.
And his head.
Yeah, not to mention getting smacked by the drink thing. But Paddy, how is the Achilles? It's a bit of a nasty one to get at that stage of your life, or at any stage. But how did you do it?
I was just having a little jog and thinking that I was still young again, and I just felt pop, and I knew that it was my Achilles. So, look, you know, I don't need to play football anymore. You know, maybe it was a calling sign that, you know, you're old now. You don't need to just relax and don't do anything. So, no risk. It's okay. You know, it is what it is. I deal with it the best way I can. And with the box, you know, I've got stitches in the head, as obviously it's well publicised. It was an accident.
Paddy?
Yeah. But you got to ask Andrew Naboo about that. But look, I've had harder things hit my head, and, you know, it is what it is, you know. A bit of pain for a feeling on Saturday, that was fantastic. You know, it's okay.
Hey, Paddy, congratulations. We love your journey. And, you know, we'd love to talk to you about Leicester City and Leeds if we had some time. But, mate, it's been a great career, and it continues to go on. It's been seamless, really, 40 years old and 40 years young. There's still a hell of a lot more to come. And congratulations on the premiership title, mate.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it, guys.
Not at all. Paddy Kisnorbo, the coach of Melbourne City, the champions of the A-League. Well, the premiership winners of the A-League, the championship yet to come. Okay, stick around. Box to Box, Jason Pine from Sky News. He's a cult hero over there at the Wellington Phoenix. He's stuck in Australia. He's going to tell us what's going on with the club as they returned home to a massive crowd.
Box to Box.
Can you believe it?
For Chemist Warehouse,
home of real brands and real savings.
And Storage King,
the kings of storage, moving and more.
And this could be
this is Box to Box on Nine Radio, NTS News, Talk Sport. It's a bumper show this week. We've talked to Ross Greenwood and Paddy Kisnorbo. We're going to talk to Martin Tyler in the next hour. But the man, the cult hero from New Zealand, Jason Pine. How are you, Jason? Sky News very own. What's going on? We saw you doing victory laps with the players.
Yeah, that was rather embarrassing that the Sky cameras decided to pick out the tall, lanky has-been or never was at the end there. I think there was a bit of the loopy juice going down in the yellow fever zone near the end of that game, and rightly so. And I was encouraged over by some youngsters, and the Sky cameras got it all. So, yeah,
oh, mate, well, I think just like your brothers and sisters over there, mate, we love you. You got the character, and you bring so much passion. And to be honest, I was saying to the guys that I enjoyed the coverage of the Kiwi coverage of football for the A-League better than the domestic coverage. So it seems to have a bit more passion and enthusiasm about it, and you bring a lot of it to it, mate. But it was a great day, though, wasn't it? 24,000 record crowd. The Knicks come home. Ulfuk Tale is a folk hero just about over there.
Yeah, it was just a great occasion. And, you know, the fact that we've been starved of it so long, you know, we haven't had the chance to see the Phoenix. I mean, the number was thrown around a lot, 433 days between games at Sky Stadium, and the appetite was there to get back and really, you know, to show some support for this team that has done so much and endured so much and you know, really made a lot of sacrifices. I think it was the least that the Wellington football faithful could do than turn up and support them. And it was a beautiful day in Wellington, which isn't always the case, as you guys probably know. You know, the Knicks were still in the hunt for a top six spot against their newest rivals, Western United, with Mark Redan, of course, the villain of the piece back here in Wellington. And look, the result and, you know, the crowd and everything about the day was just wonderful. You know, it gave everybody who was there a really, you know, positive feeling. And it just showed, I think, what the A-League can be. I know it was an unusual set of circumstances, but, you know, seeing the crowd and the families and the whipping off of the shirts after 80 minutes.
And Andrew Dorado's farewell.
It was a tremendous day. Yeah.
433 days it's been in between home games, so it was a remarkable sort of feeling, and you could feel it through the broadcast, Jason, so well done. You may not know this, but Ufuk Tele's doppelganger is in our studio every week. Rob Gilbert, with his half-Lebanese heritage, is just the spitting image of Ufuk Tele, and he's earned himself a two-year extension, so we're just wondering whether Ufuk's two-year extension at Wellington is going to be replicated with Rob Gilbert's two-year extension at Box the Box. Do you have any insight into that, Piney?
Look, I think Rob's one of those. He's whatever he wants, he should get. Really, it's one of those situations.
I'm the rain
where,
man.
You know, you got to have the best in the business, and look, whatever he wants, just get the contract in front of him and get the ink on the paper. Yeah, that's what I'd be doing.
Thank you.
But what about the significance of Tele re-signing for 2 years? We know that Melbourne Victory had a big tilt at him before they announced Tony Popovich, but it must be a great vote of confidence in the Phoenix organisation and Ufuk's ability, because they have really Ufuk and his team have endeared themselves to Australian audiences, because everybody's recognised how tough they've done it. But what does it mean for the Wellington fans that Tele's going to stick around?
Yeah, I think it was a real boost, you know, and the team was home for the whole week, and the day before the game, they chose as the day that they would announce his extension. Yes, we know that that Victory had a go at him a couple of times, actually, but as soon as they settled on Tony Popovich, that Ufuk would stay, and it's proven to be the case, and he's done a terrific job. You know, he came in off the back of Mark Rudan's year here, and Roos turned up at the right time. You know, he inherited a team that was really, you know, close to rock bottom, and turned them into a top six side again. Ufuk picked up that baton and ran with it last season and this year as well. And to have another 2 years of him and his playing style and his recruitment, which has been bang on, I think, you know, it's a real vote of confidence for the club. And you know, I mean, they've become a very watchable side. You know, you look at the players who are there, and, you know, while Davila's injured at the moment, you know, what a wonderful player. Biscopo the same, and a shame to see him go off the other night. But just the way that Ufuk Tele encourages this team to play has been, you know, a real boon for the fans of the club. And I hope as well, fans of the A-League in general, that they like to watch Wellington play and they enjoy the style of football he's putting together. So, yeah, delighted to have him staying with the Phoenix for another couple of years.
This is Box to Box. We're talking to Sky Sports New Zealand's Jason Pine. He's stuck in Australia. He's managed to get out of Melbourne. He's in Sydney trying to get home. Jacinda Ardern won't help him out, but there's plenty of Kiwis up there. You'll feel right at home, mate.
Jason, Ufuk Tele is hanging around at the Phoenix, as is Ben Wayne, a youngster who's been signed up on a three-year deal. I believe he turned down a move abroad. Wayne follows the likes of Sarpreet Singh, Libby Kikache, McCowart, Callan Elliott. There's a whole raft of youngsters who have come through the club in recent years. That hasn't always necessarily been the case with Wellington. So what's been the trigger for this sort of rich production line over the past couple of years? And as an extension of that, is this the healthiest you've seen the club in its history?
Yeah, great question, great observation. And to answer the first part of that, the production line has come through the club's academy for the most part. While there have been youngsters who have come to the club from other places, you know, some of the names you mentioned there, Sarpreet Singh, Libby Kikache, Sam Sutton, Ben Wayne, and now Ben Old as well, who just got a cameo off the bench the other night. He looked about 8 years old when he came onto the pitch. Certainly not shaving yet, that boy. But they're coming through the club's academy, which is well run by a guy called Paul Temple, who's a bone-deep, passionate football man and has really developed young players extremely well, with the aim, of course, of bringing them into the first team and seeing what they can do. And we've seen Kikache head off to Belgium. We've seen Sarpreet Singh off to Germany. You know, Coventry were in for Ben Wayne, the English Championship club. He turned down their approach to hang around, and Sam Sutton and Ben Old and others as well are going to, you know, hopefully tread the same path. Is it the healthiest I've seen the club? Certainly, as far as the depth is concerned, I think probably is. You know, they they are able to cover the likes of, you know, Kikachi's a great example. Best left back in the league, I would say, last year. Heads off to Belgium, and not just one, but two players come in and say, you know what, I'd like to make that spot my own. Not only Sam Sutton, but James McGarry, another young Kiwi, is also putting his hand up in that position. And right across the park now, there is competition for places. You know, good players are not getting into the side. And when everybody's fit, it's very, very hard to pick the best 11 in this football club, which has to be a good thing. So, yeah, just back to Ben Wayne. Lovely kid, guys. You know, really, really down-to-earth character. Comes from a great family. I remember when he first signed for the Phoenix, or, you know, he got an extension of his academy deal. He was still at school, and I rang the club's media manager and asked if I could do an interview with Ben Wayne, and they said, well, you can, but you have to wait until he's finished third period mathematics before he's got a break. So I couldn't get to him until he fulfilled his academic commitments, which I thought was a neat little story. So, yeah, it's a good good time for the young players coming through.
And looking ahead to this weekend, Saturday at Eden Park, you've got a six-pointer against Perth Glory. 15,000 tickets sold by the last count that's been made public. Just interested to know how much affection there is for the Phoenix around New Zealand as a whole. Or is there affection for them, or are they seen as just a Wellington Pursuit?
No, absolutely. They have affection from around the country, and they are marketed, obviously, when they go to these places as New Zealand's A-League team. And Auckland have been really, really, excuse me, positive. And the way they've turned out in previous years, big, big numbers. In fact, the crowd that turned up on Saturday in Wellington beat the regular season record for a home crowd. And that was actually held by Eden Park's Auckland crowd a couple of years ago. So they certainly turn out in numbers. A lot of the players have connections with Auckland, having grown up there or still having family there. And, you know, the numbers will be very big again on Sunday. I think what they're trying to do is make it a bit of a competition. Say, hey, come on, Auckland. We had 24,000 turn up in Wellington. Let's see what you can do. And you're right, 18,000, I think, sold already. What are we, Thursday? So, you know, if we can get another couple of days of good pre-sales and a good walk-up, who knows, that 25,000 might be under threat. So I think it all comes down to the way, you know, to the fact that the Knicks are still in the mix. You know, they'll go into this game on Sunday, you know, with the other results obviously still to come before then, knowing that they're still in the mix. If they can beat Perth, they'll probably go into the final round, other results notwithstanding, with a chance to make the top six. And it'll also be, if they can get a result, a 10th straight unbeaten game, which would be a club record. So there's a lot to like about Sunday. It's sort of coming together a bit like a perfect storm that that Wellington was last weekend. Let's hope we get the same sort of thing from a Phoenix perspective anyway on Sunday in Auckland.
Yeah, well, good luck to the Phoenix, mate. We've loved the story as they've endured COVID in Australia and come home and still in there with a red-hot chance of making the finals to back up what was an outstanding season last season as well, mate. Jason, thank you for your time as well. You know, you represent New Zealand football with a great passion and it's such an important, as we've discussed with you in the past, we feel such an important part of this whole A-League ecosystem that the Wellington Phoenix are not only in the competition but successful and competitive. Mate, thanks again for joining us, and good luck on your whistle stop journey home. You might end up on a canoe sort of Contiki style and be paddling home, mate.
Yeah, well, I'll get home by hook or by crook, but always a pleasure talking to you guys. I really appreciate the support you give to the Phoenix. It's always a great pleasure to talk to you, and just anytime you want to chat, give me a call. I could be in Melbourne, could be in Sydney, could be in Wellington, could be somewhere in between, but always pick up the phone.
And you'll always have your fans taking selfies of you too, mate. Thanks, Jason. Jason,
thanks, fine.
He's a great man. Okay, stick around after the news. We've got a lot more to come. We've got Martin Taylor, the man who is Box to Box. We've got lots more in Europe. And drum roll, please, the announcement of the Premiership and the Championship tipping competition. It's much coveted. It's a very important title. The people that win it, they get to share the glory for 12 months. And the ones that lose, oh, God, you just don't want to be one of those. Anyway, that's after the news on Box to Box.
Now, this is Box to Box with Rob Gilbus and Michael Edgley.
Oh, what a goal!
For Chemist Warehouse.
Home of real brands and real savings.
And Storage King.
The kings of storage, moving and more.
Absolutely fantastic!
Yes, this is Box to Box on Nine Radio, NTS and News Talk Sport. Second edition news with Willem van Denderen, and shortly Martin Tyler, the voice of Sky Sports, of so many broadcasting organisations around the world. He is the man who is the soundtrack of sport in the, well, at least English-speaking football world. We'll talk more on Europe with Dino and Dell to wrap up the international competitions and stoppage time, of course. We're going to have a look at our predictions from the beginning of the Premier League season and the Championship. Where's it going to land? There's a few nervous people.
Yeah, I might be in a bit of trouble there, Rob.
well, let's just wait an hour.
Can I remember who I picked?
Well, Derek is the remaining champion in both. So,
yes, indeed. Yeah. He came in. Just hoping to look. Came in and swept the forward last year, didn't he?
Everyone knows that I have only one objective,
and that is
beat me.
Yeah, exactly.
But Derek is a European expert, so we'd expect him to
correct. To
do that. We'll see how Derek goes in the A-League tipping when that comes in later on.
Yeah, well, we'll put the pressure on him if he doesn't. That'd be humiliating for him if he loses to someone else. Touché.
Socceroos and Matilda Central for the Green and Gold Army. The Socceroos World Cup campaign recommences now, and you'll want to be there should they reach Qatar 2022. The first step to do so is to sign up to the Green and Gold Army mailing list, a decision I once took myself, and it was one of the great decisions that I've made. You can do so yourself at ggatravel.com.au. A quick wrap of the Aussie performances across the week. We had a Premier League debutant this week, Michael and Rob, a 20-year-old at Fulham named Tyrese Francois. He came off the bench and played the final 15 minutes of their season. He's from Campbelltown. He played his juniors at Camden Tigers and has lived with his family in London since he was 13 when he joined Fulham's academy. So hopefully he'll see a bit of game time in the Championship next season. From the top of the English League right down to the bottom, Dean Bouzanis has helped Sutton United into the Football League for the first time, clinching promotion from Conference Premier. And Michael, wasn't it great to see him celebrate with, of course, his partner, Steph Catley, and a whole bunch of the London-based Matildas.
Yeah, every Matilda that's based in England decided to get together and support Dean in that pretty important game. And there was some good social media footage, Samantha Kerr showing Dean running from his position, obviously in goal, to celebrate with his teammates after they scored one of their goals. So, well done to Dean.
Kenny Dougal will be a late arrival to Q8 as he and Blackpool have reached the League One playoff. Dougal scored in the semi-final second leg against Oxford, and they'll face Lincoln City on Monday morning our time. There were minutes in the Bundesliga for both Aiden Rustich and Matthew Leckie before they head to Q8, and that, of course, is expected to be Leckie's final match with Hertha Berlin. To the Matildas, Alana Kennedy, Emily Van Egmont and Ella Mastrantonio have all been released from their English clubs in the past week. West Ham will retain a strong Australian presence despite Van Egmont's departure, with Mackenzie Arnold and Tamika Yallop signing up for next season. And we, of course, know the Matildas are playing Sweden in a pre-Olympics friendly on June 16th. They've added another 5 days prior against Denmark. So that's Denmark on June the 11th and Sweden on June 16th. Barcelona, Real Madrid and Juventus are holding firm against the disciplinary proceedings they're facing, stating they will not be pressured by UEFA. In a statement, the clubs have criticised UEFA for its monopoly over European football and unwillingness to modernise the game through respectful dialogue. They continued on to say either they will reform football or watch its inevitable downfall. So as this story continues to rumble on, Rob.
Oh, it's absurd, really, isn't it? Its inevitable downfall. I think the last time I read an article on the Spanish leagues that the top three teams are a combined $3.2 billion in debt. We all know it's about the money. Juventus were just very lucky to scrape into the Champions League the way they did, with Ronaldo on the bench too. So, it's just an absurd face-saving exercise, which, to quote Edge from earlier on, will end up with more egg on their face than they've already got.
Manchester United's Marcus Rashford has been subject to online racial abuse once again in the aftermath of their Europa League final loss. Rashford tweeted he counted at least 70 slurs on his various accounts, with the club quick to condemn the behaviour. And Rob, 1 year on this week from the murder of George Floyd and the start of the Black Lives Matter protests, still, of course, plenty to do.
Yeah, it's so sad, isn't it, that I was watching that game and, you know, I've got to be honest, I sort of was feeling that I was hoping that it wasn't one of the players who identify, you know, with the Black Lives Matter movement who missed the goal, because I just thought if Rashford or someone similar misses, then it's just going to unleash the filth that inevitably comes, and it happened anyway.
Antonio Conte's time at Inter Milan has come to an end. just 3 weeks after leading them to their drought-breaking 19th Serie A title. Conte had a season to run on his three-year deal, but has agreed to depart now, with the club thanking him for his extraordinary work. Inter are expected to face cost-cutting measures shortly as their owner, Chinese retail giant Suning, continues to grapple with the impacts of COVID-19. Elsewhere in Italy, Napoli have parted ways with manager Gennaro Gattuso after their failure to reach the Champions League. And Zinedine Zidane, a bit of breaking news, his second spell at Real's come to an end following the club's failure to win a trophy for the first time in 11 seasons.
Yeah, Conte looks like he's been the victim of cost-cutting measures. So what will that mean for
Madrid or Spurs?
Yeah, but what does it mean for Inter next year? What's going to happen with the playing list as well? So, yeah, watch this space after such a fabulous year, Rob.
Exactly. Well, I guess the question is, what's his space there? But I do wonder whether he's already got the contract signed now that Zidane's missing and or gone. And there was also talk about Mopo potentially going back to Spurs.
Back to Spurs.
Yeah. Could he keep Harry Kane?
Could well. Interesting to see how that plays out. Chelsea have returned over 800 unsold tickets for this weekend's Champions League final, with UEFA criticised for their expensive and rigid ticketing system. 2,800 tickets with independent travel were sold, but the remainder were tied in with charter flights, in all totalling around £400. The tickets also included just 24 hours in Porto, with Chelsea supporter reps calling the tickets very prohibitive. Michael, you're a football travel logistics man. When you sort of organise tours, I don't know where I'm going with that. Sorry. Do you want to jump in?
Yeah, look, it's a unique environment at the moment with COVID, isn't it, Willem? So obviously UEFA decided to package up the charter flights because flights were so difficult in and out. And I'd say that there's also some government regulatory issues around how long fans are in the host city based on the potential spread of COVID as well. So I think all those issues create a very complex scenario to work through. And I guess until rights holders like UEFA and clubs actually sort of live through working out how best to handle this situation, we're going to have some hiccups, and that's a pretty major one. Who would have thought 800 tickets going back to UEFA when only you can sell 6,000 for a Champions League final?
No, not ideal at all.
Dear, oh dear.
Squads for this summer's Euros are continuing to take shape, and Luis Enrique has omitted Sergio Ramos from Spain's after injury restricted the national captain to just 21 matches this season. Ramos was a key part of Spain's treble of major triumphs between 2008 and 2012 and holds the record for the most international appearances of anyone with 176. With right back Dani Carvajal also injured, there's amazingly not a single player from Real Madrid named in the squad.
Happy to see Ramos out. Can't find many good words to say about him. He's a grip one grub and needs to be shown out of the game as quickly as possible. Mo Salah and then the entire nation of Egypt will be cheering. So, Edge, I know you agree with me because he's a pretty ordinary
guy. The other flip side of that coin is he's first picked in my team every single day of the week. And you've got to have a group one grub in your team. Mm. And I would love him in my team because he would make everybody walk a little taller. and we might try and get him on one day just so Rob can level some of those criticisms directly to him.
Mate, and see what sort of response he follows all of our socials.
He'd reach down the radio waves and just that hand would come out of the microphone and strangle you.
We've still got to get Wayne Rooney on as well, Rob. I haven't forgotten that. So when you get Wazza, I'll get old Ramos.
Okay. Well, we're all learning how to speak Spanish in the
group
meantime.
Group one grub. That's harsh.
Bit of news around England's squad as well. Trent Alexander-Arnold has been named in Gareth Southgate's provisional 33-man squad. Also in the squad are Jude Bellingham and Jadon Sancho, with Bellingham to become the youngest England player at a major tournament should he play. Missing out are Eric Dyer and Danny Ings, and this is not good news in my opinion. Goalkeepers Sam Johnstone and Aaron Ramsdale are both in despite their clubs being relegated from the Premier League.
What's going on with the goalkeeping stocks in England?
We've got better goalkeepers.
Yeah, we do. Lawrence Thomas.
Even better retired goalkeeper.
Get a game for England.
Well done.
And finally, Zlatan Ibrahimovic has been fined €50,000. That's about 79,000 Australian by UEFA for his association with gambling agency Betthard, where he's believed to have a 10% ownership stake. He was directed by UEFA's disciplinary committee to cease his involvement, while his club, AC Milan, have also been fined €25,000. Not sure what AC did there. It has, of course, been a bad month for Zlatan, who has been ruled out of the Euros with a knee injury.
Well, Zlatan's been riding such a high for his entire life. He's a self-described legend. So, you know, you got to expect a couple of little bumps along the way of the great career, don't you?
little bit of news out of Argentina, which I think is relatively significant, is that after a damning report surrounding the death of Diego Maradona, prosecutors have levelled seven medical professionals with a charge of homicide. Mm. Their passports have been surrendered and four of them have been remanded in custody. So
that's outrageous. I mean, nothing to do with the excess illegal drug use and gallons of alcohol that he
I think they're directly. It's directly related to his treatment in the final weeks before he died. The report, which was a significant report undertaken by the medical board in Argentina, said that his death was entirely avoidable. As a result of that, prosecutors have levelled these charges. So we'll just wait and see what happens out of that. And Diego Maradona's life continues to strike headlines, Rob.
And it will for a long time yet. All right, well done, Willem. Okay, after the break, we're going to talk to the man who is synonymous with our show. He opens and closes every show. His great voice is the soundtrack to the game in the English speaking world. We love it when we listen to and talk to our good friend Martin Tyler. He's on after the break. We're going to talk Europa League, we're going to talk Champions League, and we're going to talk Euros. Stick around. Box to box.
Box to box. For Chemist Warehouse,
home of real brands and real savings,
and Storage King,
the kings of storage, moving and more.
And this could be the most crucial.
Yes, this is Box to Box on Nine Radio, NTS News Talk Sport, broadcasting across Australia. Of course, you might be listening on to the podcast. Welcome if you are. We'll wrap up the top flight European leagues a little later in the hour, but we, of course, want to wrap up the Europa League and look ahead to the Champions League and the Euros. We welcome our voice of Box to Box, Martin Tyler. How are you?
I'm good. I'm feeling for that Europa League final and the fine margins between success and failure. I don't think they've ever been quite so clear-cut as how narrow it is between being heroes today and being heartbroken today.
And the career of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer as manager of Manchester United, it did feel, and it does feel like it's on a knife edge, that you know, he's either a champion, brings home silverware and has Manchester United back on track, but all of the fallout seems to be around the inability of the team to take their chances and finish off with respect was a seventh placed finishing team in La Liga.
Yeah, that's the way it's being seen in the UK as well. He's a great guy, Ole, and everybody, I think, feels for him as a person. It is a brutal business at times. The standards that have been set in the past are a little bit in the past now, so it's not. I think it's probably because there haven't been trophies for a while, but he's on the sharp end of other managers failing to do that before he was brought in. I know the club back into the hilt, so I would be very surprised if there was something dramatic in the short term, but I guess there'll be some serious discussions. And Gary Neville, I work with a lot, you know, in my work over here at Sky Sports, and all season he's come up with a phrase for Manchester United, the odd bunch. And bearing in mind his great love for them, they are a team that, when they went to goal down, I thought, well, that's what they do. They'll come back and win this, because they've been doing that week after week in the Premier League and other domestic competitions here. So it's just goes down to a goalkeeper's penalty, and that if somebody loses their job over that, I think that's very tough. But as you say, it will be a cumulative thing. But so close to getting the trophy, that would mean so much to the manager himself and obviously to the football club.
Martin, some fine fans are watching the game calling for Dean Henderson to be brought up and brought on in stoppage time and extra time to save the penalties, in the way that I suppose Van Gaal did with Tim Krul all those years ago. Ole didn't really look to his bench though, did he? I mean, he went with the team that he put out, and he brought Fred on towards the end. What I mean, what does that say about where this squad is and where Ole thinks you know, his help is going to come from?
Well, there's all sorts of talk about who's going and who's staying from those kind of extra players, if you like. Say Daniel James is a good example of that. I think the loss of Harry Maguire can't be underestimated. That it shouldn't be like that, should it? But as a leader on the field, I mean, it was obviously a sentimental gesture to put him on the bench with no possibility of him taking part. That I think has come at the wrong time. He's virtually been ever present through his time at the club. So I think it's the moment of truth. Yeah, you do get judged by your substitutions. That Van Gaal thing was, of course, maybe an example for other coaches to follow. That could have happened that way. In the end, you run out of substitutes and you're still thinking you're going to win it before it goes to penalties, I guess. So that's the way the cookie has crumbled, and it's a cookie with a pretty nasty taste this morning.
The other team in Manchester, of course, looking ahead, Martin will think that they can secure a European trophy and the first Champions League in their history. Lots of emotion on the pitch in their final game with the send off for Aguero, tears from Guardiola. Do you think Chelsea, now that they've secured Champions League football, this less I suppose riding on this, of course, apart from the Champions League trophy, they can maybe pick off City here, who have maybe got a bit over emotional the week before?
I've commentated on all three meetings between the clubs this season. They've all been in this calendar year. Manchester City basically reinvented themselves at Stamford Bridge with the 20 minutes of the most sparkling football possible of the entire Premier League campaign to set up. They were into that good run, but it wasn't long after the famous team meeting where they said the standards weren't good enough. They were in the middle of the table, and then they suddenly looked like what they became, champions. Then, of course, the two games since, Chelsea have won. I think probably there will be people over here who say the phony war, that maybe the FA Cup wasn't high priority for Pep Guardiola with so much else going on. But, you know, the players don't go into Wembley games thinking that they're there. It doesn't matter whether they lose it or not. So that would have hurt. And obviously the league game was, Aguero was seen in a different light when he had the penalty to make it 2-0, went for the Panenka. And it, of course, when those fail, it's worse than the goalkeeper making the sort of conventional save. So they've got a bit going for them, Chelsea. They've also got a fullback position, which is they are the only London club to have ever won the Champions League or the European Cup. So that will still be in place if they do lose to Manchester City. I think it's a 50-50 game. I was lucky enough to meet Sergio Aguero for the first time a few days before his last Premier League game. Was really taking it, very charming, and I'm sort of linked a little bit with him for the goal in 2012, which we talked about, and it was a very nice personal experience, and then to have to commentate, well, I enjoyed obviously very much commentating on his two goals, his two farewell Premier League goals. So whether he will play a part, who knows? But we've just seen in the Europa League final, you can't predict what's going to happen. It's a final. It's got none of us quite like, I don't know whether it's two Spanish clubs or two Italian clubs or two English clubs to have the this great competition decided within one country. I think the Spanish English thing in the Europa League was part of the charm of it. So we'll see. They've happened before, these all English games, and Chelsea have been on the wrong end of one when they lost to Manchester United, of course, a few years back. I can't possibly give you any clues as to which way it's going to go. I think both teams will fancy their chances.
Martin, Sergio Aguero was well celebrated by the Manchester City folk. A player in Germany who scored his 41st goal last weekend, Robert Lewandowski, that's a record for Bundesliga. There is a bit of talk that he may be leaving Bayern Munich. If you can just dream for a moment, how successful would he be in the Premier League should he decide to finish his career in England? And I would just like maybe you to reflect on a comparison of Lewandowski and what type of impact he could have in the Premier League at this stage of his career if he decided to cross to England.
Well, there's been some speculation that he could be on Manchester City's radar, but that's been followed by speculation that Pep Guardiola doesn't really go for that type of player, and they maybe didn't have the most natural relationship. And Pep would love to pack his team full of midfield players, and Robert Lewandowski is the most wonderful out-and-out striker, I think, of the modern era. He lives and breathes for scoring goals, and I think that's a great quality. I'm sure if he came to English football, he would continue to score goals. He's just got that in him. He knows exactly, got that sixth sense of where the ball would drop. He shoots on sight. He's got a really a dramatic game to him. I think he's, when you're commentating, you don't really take your eyes off him because he's got so much going for him in terms of the goal scoring record, but also every game. It's part of the trick of my job, really. You sort of try and work out before the game where the goals might come from. It's almost like being the scout for both teams, you know. And he's there all the time, and he's a threat all the time. But I have to just add that Timo Werner came with a great reputation, hasn't really done it, and he's the first to admit it, incidentally. He's been very open and honest, and the Chelsea fans have taken him to their hearts because of that, despite his at times costly misses. So, yeah, it could happen. Erling Haaland, of course, is being mentioned as well. And the Harry Kane saga continues to dominate the thought of transfers of strikers in this country.
This is Box to Box. Martin Tyler is with us. Martin, after that Champions League final, we're going to shift our focus, of course, to the Euros, the 12-month delayed Euros. It does kick off at the Stadio Olimpico in Rome. Italy play Turkey. We are going to see crowds back, and ironically, as we broadcast from Melbourne on the day that Melbourne returns to a seven-day snap lockdown because of COVID, we know the vagaries of what may happen. But with a lot of the changes to venues over the course of the last few months, with UEFA deleting some stadiums from the list and centralising more games at fewer stadiums, we're all crossing our fingers that this tournament will kick off as scheduled and continue so that we can enjoy one of the great competitions.
Yes, and because of what you just said, I think it's a really difficult competition to look at because the different nations are preparing in different circumstances. Obviously, there's been a lot of domestic football squeezed into a shorter period. I think it's the shortest Premier League season, maybe even one of the shortest top division seasons ever in English football, with a late start. So the players are going to have very little time to recover. Picking squads is already difficult, as we've seen. Gareth Southgate's named 33 for an hour 26 man allowed party, which again is something that I don't think the coaches will all go for. They'll understand why, but leaving players who won't even be on the team sheet, leaving them in the stand, is not much fun as a coach to do that. And these are players who are, many of whom, they're human beings. We mustn't forget that many of whom will be thinking, well, I do deserve a break now. But obviously, the coaches that get the best out of the players and the players who come with the best commitment, I think it's a very open field. And obviously, there's some of the crucial games and the climax of the competition here in England, again, England's chances are being talked up, but England have never been champions of Europe, so you know there's a lot of hurdles to clear before that might become the run-in, and England might just get their noses in front. Nobody at the moment here is banging the drum. You all know enough about English football to know the danger sign when the country and even the non-football part of the country rises up to back the national team. It sometimes works against the national team. But we'll see. And I'm doing some work on it for UEFA, and I'm really looking forward to it. I've got a list of countries to prepare in the next few days. And I honestly, I'm not a betting guy, so I don't look at the odds. I'm sure England will be well up there because of the nature of the venues. But I think it'll be a great competition, and I hope so for everybody involved, because we all know why it's been delayed a year. You're right in what you said. I didn't know about Melbourne, so, you know, my concerns for all of you about that. So let's hope that the medics are the main men, aren't they now? We're in the hands of the doctors, the scientists, and after them, we'll get to the footballers.
Well, Martin, thanks again for joining us. So we hope, like you, we do get to enjoy those Euros. It's just something that, as you know, you know more about Australian football and the Australian football culture than most around the world. And we just can't wait. Looking forward to it, and hope England have the kind of success finally that the country's been craving since 1966.
Well, for me, I always believe that I want to see in any game, in any competition, the team that deserves to win. Mm-hmm. Whichever country that happens to be, good luck to them.
Well made point, Martin Tyler. Thank you again for joining us, mate.
It's a pleasure. Anytime, you know that.
Thank you, Martin Tyler. He's such a generous man with his time, and we're so very grateful. We hope you always enjoy listening to Martin's thoughts on the World Game. All right, stick around. We're going to talk more Europe. We're going to wrap up the European competitions after the break on Box to Box.
Box to Box.
Can you believe it?
For Chemist Warehouse.
Home of real brands and real savings.
And Storage King.
The kings of storage, moving and more.
And this could be the most crucial
Yes, this
goal
is Box to Box, and we've got more Europe. We had a wonderful conversation before the break with Martin Tyler, but we're going to wrap up all of the European competitions and look ahead to the championship playoff final on Sunday morning our time. But before we do, there are some great savings at Chemist Warehouse every day. You know that. There's INC plant protein, chocolate or vanilla, 1 kilogram variants. 1 kilogram variants, buy in bulk, $34.99. If you're in Melbourne, you want to get it. We are in lockdown in Melbourne, but you're not around the rest of the country. 25% off Bondi protein vegan 1 kilo range for $29.99. I'm getting the sound effects and the actions in the studio. You should see it. 40% off the entire Musashi range. Remember, Chemist Warehouse is making it easier for you to get your essential items. In addition to visiting your local store, you can click and collect to save time at chemistwarehouse.com.au. Order online for delivery by Australia Post and get free shipping on orders over $50. Or call and ask for same day delivery. They've got it all at Chemist Warehouse. Fees and charges may apply. Chemist Warehouse, the great savings are every single day.
Did you know that my daughters, Angela and Megan, are heading down to Chemist Warehouse on Friday to get their flu shot?
Excellent. That's wonderful. And you can do it for a very affordable rate. It's only $14.99. So get along to Chemist Warehouse. And
it's an outing these days under Melbourne's lockdown.
Correct.
Go and get your flu shot at Chemist Warehouse. Might be the only time you're let out of the house.
Exactly. Derek, what do you got?
We were talking to Mark and Tyler about the Europa League final. One thing that we didn't say just quickly was fair play to Unai Emery. He's won this tournament four times now. He, you know, was very maligned at Arsenal. I wasn't actually very happy with the way he was treated by the fans and the press. I think, you know, I don't think he was given an opportunity with us. And how crazy is it that a city or a town with a population of 40,000, so that's Wodonga, so has won the Europa League. So it's just like Wodonga winning the Europa League. But going to the Champions League final, I just want to firstly get all of your predictions, Dino. Going to be a pretty close game, but where do you think it's going?
Very much on the Man City bandwagon. I think their form at the back end of the season, well, all season really, apart from their start at the early start of the Premier League campaign. But for me, I mean, Chelsea, especially under Tuchel, have been a lot harder to play against, but I just think Man City have got too many weapons all over the park.
And what about you, Rob? You're an underdog man. Chelsea are hardly an underdog with the way that they are, but can you see it being the Werner final?
I can, and I am going to tip the underdog to win. I think that there's no more pressure on Chelsea now. I know you and I are talking about it during the week. I thought that if they had to play for a Champions League position, and we talked about the doomsday scenario a couple of weeks ago, which should have played out if Leicester City hadn't have just choked at the death, then I wouldn't have been prepared to tip them. But now the pressure's off. They know they've won. Thomas Tuchel is a master strategist, and I think he'd get some free rent in Pep Guardiola's head, and he'd be extra worried about him because he's done it before already this season. And look, they've got the firepower if Tuchel can get it together. And look, I think the key is if N'Golo Kante is fit. He plays the role of 2-3 players, and for me, he's the difference.
Edge, is it going to be the perfect swan song for Sergio Aguero?
It is, yeah. They have too much quality in my book, and they'll get the job done. And I think it'll be a lot more comfortable than what Rob was explaining his drivel just before.
God's sake.
I'll tell you what, will, I'm going to make it interesting. I'm going to call Chelsea. I'm going to join Rob. It's going to be 2-on-2. And see, I've read the Pep Guardiola book. He is a big overthinker. You know, if I was Tuchel, I'd be going out to his house and moving his plant pots around. I'd be hiding his bins and just doing anything that just makes him go, God, you know, is it a sign? Do I need to put, you know, our goalie in attack or something? So,
Give his gardener a slab of beer just to mow the lawns out of sequence every 2 weeks instead of every 3 weeks.
Move a tree or something. Yeah, no, that's how you get under Guardiola's skin. But in Europe, obviously, the Premier League ended, Dino, and Rob mentioned it. You know, Leicester blew it, really, against Spurs at home, and you would have thought they were going to win. So Liverpool did it. They finished third. Chelsea qualified for the Champions League. But You know, do you think, Dean, when they look at this season, Leicester will be disappointed, but they won that FA Cup after 140 years. It's still been a good season, hasn't it?
I mean, I think Leicester, especially under the management, for me, he's been brilliant. And I think, you know, like they dropped out at the last minute. I mean, Tottenham were very good. I mean, they had a point to prove because they wanted to get some part of whatever part of Europe they could get into. But I think, look, at the end of the day, he's done a fabulous job, and I've got a funny feeling. I don't think he'll leave Leicester, but I know he's on, I think, a few targets of other teams around the EPL that most probably fancy him to come and take that job.
And of course, Leicester will now join West Ham in the Europa League, and I think that's a good, excellent result for West Ham. I know we're going to do our predictions later, and I don't think anyone thought that West Ham would finish sixth. Spurs will join the Europa Conference League 1 point ahead of Arsenal, who completed the season with 5 wins in a row, but it will be Tottenham who will be going to Minsk, well, probably because the Ryanair flight will be diverted there, and some of other Europe's shit locations. So good luck, Spurs, on that. In Spain, guys, Atletico, Luis Suarez, the hero. And, you know, he was a bit of damaged goods, Dean, when he went there. You know, Barca had basically written him off, and he's just brought them the title. How good is that?
No, unbelievable. I mean, you know, he was fabulous at Liverpool when he was there, but this season he's just been outstanding. And I'm really pleased for him, and I'm really pleased that Real Madrid haven't won the league, nor Barcelona. But outside of those two, I didn't really care as long as it wasn't those two. So, for me, great result, and he had a big, big part to play.
5 of the last 7 titles, Luis Suarez. Not too bad for the biter.
No, not at all. And I think, you know, I think in that system at Atletico, where he's just, you know, he's there not for his movement, he's there for his goal-scoring ability. I think that's what they needed, and I'm very pleased for them. One guy who's not pleased is Ronald Koeman. He's made his feelings very known to the hierarchy at Barcelona, not happy that he's not getting any support, and probably going to be replaced by Javi Fernandez, at some point in the future. But the other probably bigger shock is in France, Lille beat Angers to win the league title for the fourth time. And, you know, Paris Saint-Germain beat Brest 2-0, but it went tits up for them. And it was the only time in, you know,
they're second actually on time blue. In
9 years where they didn't win that title. And Gauthier has done the ultimate mic drop, and he's just walked off into the sunset. So well done, Lille. And Juventus secured that Champions League place. You know, and Ronaldo has said, Dino, I've achieved the goal I set when I arrived at Juventus, which I don't think he did he? He wanted to win the Champions League.
No, he did, exactly right.
So that's just a bit of spin from the guy. And Antonio Conte is off as well at Inter. You know, 3 weeks after winning that first Serie A in 11 years, he's off as well, and he'll be at a Serie A club near you at some point.
No, he won't be. We talked about this before. He'll be at Atletico or Spurs.
Oh, will he? Oh, not Spurs. God, he could do better than that. The playoff finals, before we get to those, I mean, this is all about the $150 million game, but talking about valuations, Edge, Premier League valuations list just came out.
They did indeed. Sporty Codes, just for Rob, you know, in the spirit of Super League, where competition doesn't matter, doesn't matter where you finish on the ladder, doesn't matter how many wins, all that matters is how much money your club's worth. Manchester United topped the table, $4.65 billion. They're better than Liverpool, according to the money stakes, only $4.14 billion. In third, Manchester City surprised me. I thought they would have been worth more, $4 billion US dollars. Chelsea and Arsenal are 4 and 5, $3.35 and $3.06 billion. And in 20th place, Sheffield United. They're only worth $60 million US dollars. That puts them worse off than Houston, who recently changed hands in the MLS in America for $400 million US dollars. So interesting that Sportico rates Manchester United a much greater club than Liverpool.
Oh, look, I mean, I think that is to be expected, though. Sorry to be boring about it, but, you know, Man United are building on that heritage of the recent success, and I think that still means a lot around the world, and I think it still sells pretty truckloads of shirts. So even though United have not been at the races, I think Solskjaer described this season as a disappointment because they didn't win that trophy. The value of the asset is still extremely high. So Liverpool not far behind them, though, for sure. You know, it's that longevity that gets in there. But teams, Dino, that are looking to play them, Brentford and Swansea. Now, Brentford overcame Bournemouth and turned it around with a 3-1 win. And Swansea held, held Barnsley for a 1-1, and they've gone through. But back to Brentford, I mean, they're an impressive side, aren't they? And do they go into the final as the favourite?
Yeah, I think they do, and I love their manager, Thomas Frank. He's done a fabulous job there, and I think they play really good football. And with Ivan Toney as well, albeit he's a little bit clumsy, but he's an unbelievable presence, and scoring, what is it, 32 odd goals, I think it was, in the Championship. That's no mean feat. So I think Brentford just might have just enough just to get over the line against Swansea, albeit I was impressed with Swansea when I watched them.
Yeah, look, Brentford, I think, could probably do the same as Leeds if they got up, you know, actually, you know, put a marker down and play their way and actually, survive in this league. I don't see them, if they come up being kind of meek or just trying to shut up shop and like some of the other teams have done. I think they could, you know, do a Leeds and maybe kind of climb up the table. Swansea, though, will back themselves in that game. And either way, it'll be another sort of new team in the Premier League. It won't be Bournemouth, who came down last season. So, look, Rob, I'm kind of done. I flew through that. We will do a Premier League review over the next few weeks and go through some of the teams. But how good was it just to see football with proper fans and proper crowd reactions? I just, the cop, you know, when that goal went in, was just amazing.
Yeah, no, it was fantastic. It just shows what we've been missing, and to a starving man, a bare bones diet is better than nothing at all. But to get the fans back in the stadiums, it's something special, isn't it? So at least we'll be able to watch fans in the stadium at the Championship playoff final, at the Champions League, even though it will only be small crowds. But hopefully, COVID staves off in Europe, and we can get good crowds in for the Euros as well. All right, well done, mate. We are going to take a break now, and then we're going to return with Stoppage Time, and we're going to go through our tips for the Premier League and the Championship. There's a lot of sweaty palms in the studio this week. Where were we going to end? Edge is very, very worried that somebody might finish on top of him that he's not expecting, and we are going to find out when Dino reveals all after the break on Box to Box.
Box to Box. For Chemist Warehouse,
home of real brands and real savings.
And Storage King,
the kings of storage, moving and more.
And this could be the most crucial goal of all.
Yes, this is Box to Box. This is Stoppage Time. It's been a great show. Ross Greenwood, Patrick Kisnorbo, Jason Pine, Martin Tyler. But we have got a bit of fun left to be had with the unveiling of the tipping championship for the Premier League and also the Championship. Before we get into that, though, is your home running out of space? Lots of people are running out of space at home. You need to call Storage King. If you're decluttering, moving, renovating, downsizing, creating a home office, call Storage King. They've got the answer. Stores are everywhere. A location just around the corner. They've got a crack team of storage professionals. They'll organise it all for you. That makes Storage King the kings of storage, moving and more. Storage King, as the boys whistle. Willem loves the jingle. StorageKing.com.au to find your nearest store. Bang. All right, Dino, take centre stage, welcome him up, and he's got the microphone. The what's the place where they hand out the Academy Awards in LA? It's sort of the atmosphere is building, and the nerves are jangling. So over to you, Dino.
Well, basically how it all works is Edge, Rob, Dino, Willem and Derek, Del Boy, we all put our results in. And where we would finish in the championship in the from 1 to 24, and then obviously we allocate points based on in an exact position, 5 points, and then 2 points if you get it in a particular top six or bottom three. So here we go, starting from the bottom. In last place in the championship, Del Boy on 13.
Oh my God! Ooh. He's fallen off a cliff. The champion
off a cliff. Then it comes Rob and Dino together, both on 15, so we didn't do too much better.
Okay. Well.
Then, drum roll, Edge came in at 23 points.
The young boy.
So it's Willem.
Your beauty.
Flogged it.
Bang.
23 points.
53.
One, two, three, four, five. 5 points, 25, and then he just added it with twos, and away he went and won it.
Nostradamus Van Denderen.
Well, congratulations. So there you go, Willem. Congratulations, Willem and Derek Dyson. Hang your head in shame, brother.
Yeah, I think I've just got a bit complacent. I obviously just, you know, didn't do my usual research.
What about you, Dino? You're the championship guru. Look, you're the oracle.
I had a little bit of a nightmare, to be fair. So I'll put my hands up and I'll try and do better next time.
Well, I'm considering this a podium finish, because if Willem got the gold medal and Edge got the silver, then Dino and I share the bronze. So I'll happily walk away.
What did you
bronze.
Say in one of the earlier segments, Rob, that you the only thing that mattered that was that if you beat me?
Dino, we're only I'm gibbering. We're only halfway through, Michael.
But
okay, well, let's just wait and see.
I think I'll beat you, Rob.
Well, you don't know yet. Okay. Let's find out.
Well, beat you in the championship.
So we move to the EPL now, and the same rules apply. So in last position, Edge on 50.
See, I told you, and now I'm happy.
And unbelievably, and I can't believe this, that Rob, Dino, Willem, and Del Boy all finished on 20 points.
Gold medal! thank you. Congratulations, Willem.
Well done, Rob. Well done,
congratulations, Derek.
Well done, Dino.
Congratulations, Dean.
So I think you need to combine both scores together and give us a total, Dino.
No, between not making up the rules as we go along.
I think I'll be in front of Rob.
Oh, sorry, Edge. Look, I'm sorry. Look, you got the second best competition, and I'm champion of the Premier League. So
well done.
Yeah, well, with my partners, I'm it's like what was the name of that? It was the Hotham Handicap. Damien, you know, Ross Stevenson brings it up on 3AW all the time. I can't remember it was a triple dead heat, wasn't it? And Pandy Sun was one of the horses in that triple dead heat. We'll find out before the end of the show. Well, Dino, congratulations!
Fighting Force.
And Ark Royal, that was the name of them. So forevermore, the names Van Denderen, Dyson, Hennessy and Gilbert in the quadruple dead heat as the name Edgley just rails around the corner and they're putting the canvas up around him and it'll be over very soon.
Dear, talk about dying out on something that's not that important.
I've got a question. Oh, for God's sake, this is the man who just loves to... what's the word I'm looking for, Willem?
Oh, I'm not sure, but I'll let you
wallow in his glory.
Hang on, Dino, I've got a question for you, Dino. Moving on, Rob introduces you each week as the former Notts County man. Now, the National League Conference Premier has wrapped up. What's happened to Notts this season? They finished fifth.
Yeah, look, I know. It's not a pretty sight for Notts County. I mean, the times I was there, they were in the second division, and then for part of it, they were in the first division, which was the before the Premier League. So, yeah, they're doing it pretty poor at the moment, and they've always been the poor cousin from next door, from Nottingham Forest. So, you know, with them winning European cups and all sorts. So, yeah, it's just one of them. But I've got very fond memories of Notts County.
Dino, you have been incredibly dishonest with your description of Notts County being the poor cousin. They're more like the orphaned child, aren't they?
They most probably are.
All right, Edge, let's give you back the microphone. You've got a couple of little things to distract us from the main game of stoppage time.
Yes, the Olympic Games, Rob, less than 2 months to go, but last week the Olympic torch passed through Hiroshima. It didn't go down the main city streets and all the landmarks. It went to... Via the back roads, a torch lighting ceremony took place without guests, and the IOC president was an unfortunate cancellation. Hiroshima is suffering its fourth COVID wave, as is Tokyo, and we're only less than 2 months out. So tough times for the Olympic Games. Will they happen?
They'll happen, yeah. All right, we'll wrap it up there, boys. Willem, great work.
Thank you, Rob.
Reigning champion for another 12 months. Derek, you must be feeling a little bit better.
Congrats, Willem. And yeah, slightly relieved there. I don't know if I could have coped with the double donut. So, yeah, all good.
Dino, well done. KPMG, Hennessy.
Yeah, thank you.
Chief Auditor.
Well done, boys.
Talk to you next week. Damo, he's on the buttons. You heard him in the background. Thank you. Michael.
Thanks, Rob.
A lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. Well, next week we're going to preview the Socceroos because following day they'll be playing. So it's all excitement and there'll be lots of results happening. And you will hopefully join us again on Box to Box when we go from one end of the pitch to the other in the World Game.